upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Father, we're glad for this privilege to be together again in the house of the Lord. Father, we don't know how to say thanks. You have been so good to us. And sometimes, Lord, we are not aware of how much we owe to you. But I pray this morning that we'd give ourselves to you. You have told us in your word, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I pray that you'd help us this morning to give ourselves to you, Lord, without reserve. You deserve everything, all the glory, all the honor. And I pray this morning that you'd enable us to see your greatness and your glory in the house of God. And may we be impressed with the Lord and give glory to your name. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning on the holiness of God. In the scripture that I read to you in verse 3, the seraphim are crying one to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The question for most people is not, does God exist? But, what kind of God does exist? That's the big question. Most people believe there's a God. There are not many atheists in the world. The old saying is, there are none in foxholes. I had a teacher that in school, in high school, she said she was an agnostic. She's fresh out of college. She had all of these humanistic ideas in her mind. And I talked to her about the Lord, and she told me she was an agnostic. An agnostic is somebody that says, I don't know whether there's a God or not. But we had some tornadoes to come through, and one of them went through her neighborhood. And I was in the office one day, and the assistant principal was talking to her about it. He said, What were you doing when that tornado went through? She said, I was in my closet praying. And so, you know, troubles have a way of doing away with doubts about the existence of God, and we begin to call on somebody that we know can help us. Yes. Hallelujah. So the question isn't so much as does God exist, but the question, this is the crucial question that's going to determine the destiny of men, is what kind of God does exist. And the Bible declares unto us that he is a holy God. The seraphims cried, Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, Lord of hosts, is the Lord of hosts. And so he is a holy God. Holiness is that attribute that makes God worthy of worship. He is worthy of worship because he is a holy God. Holiness defines for us his moral excellence. It is the essence of his nature, and it is exhibited in his divine activity. He is a God that has all power. But let's suppose he was a God that had all power and wasn't a holy God. What would he do with that power if he was a God with all power when he was not a holy God at the same time. But thank God that holiness, it modifies all of the other attributes of God. Not only does he have all power, but he is a holy God. And he is an all-wise God. He knows everything. But suppose he knew everything and wasn't a holy God. Aren't you glad that this God that knows everything is also a holy God? Praise God. He is a jealous God. And suppose this God, this jealous God, was not a holy God. What would he do with that jealousy if he were not a holy God? And so it is his holiness that modifies all of the other attributes of God. When the angels and seraphims around the throne, they see the Lord constantly. They are not crying, love, love, love. They're crying, holy, holy, holy. Because this is a chief attribute of our God. He is a holy God. Hallelujah. And the seraphims are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He does nothing. Even though he's all powerful. Even though he's all wise. Even though he's a God, he's a jealous God. He never does anything that violates his holiness. He is infinite in holiness. I'm telling you that God's perfections are eternal. There's never been a slip in God. Did you hear me? I said there's never been a slip in God. His holiness is infinite. His perfections are eternal. They've never been marred by mistake. And there's nothing on earth that we can compare to the holiness of God. Exodus 15 and 11, where the first mention is made of God's holiness, it says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? There is nothing on earth, nothing in all of man's intelligence that we can compare to the holiness of God. God is holy in an infinite sense. Psalms 99 and 3 says, let them praise thy great and terrible name. And the word terrible means awesome. Let them praise thy great and awesome name, for it is holy. Hallelujah. Psalm 99 and 5 says, exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalm 99 and 9 says, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only one person in all of the universe that is holy in himself is the Lord. Leviticus 19 and 2, and this is repeated in the scriptures, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He is the only one in all of the universe that his holiness is native to himself. He is the only one that can say, I am holy. Praise God. Hey, only one in all the universe that can say, I am holy. Praise God. But he can also say to his people, be ye holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Because God, who is the source of all holiness, is willing to share his holiness with you. And he says, not only am I holy, I want you to be holy. I'll share my holiness with you. All other things in this universe, all other people that are declared to be holy, derive that holiness from their association with the holy God. Nothing in the universe, nobody in the universe can claim any holiness except in their relationship with a holy God. All holiness comes from that one source. God is holy. And he says, now be ye holy. And everywhere his foot treads, and everywhere his presence is, just in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, where Moses was at the burning bush, and God said to him, "Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground." The reason the ground was holy is because of the presence of God. Take off your shoes, you are on holy ground. So, brother, things are holy as they derive that holiness from a holy God. And I want to say to us this morning that the love of holiness is absolutely essential for true worship. You cannot worship a holy God if you don't love holiness. Isaiah sees a heavenly scene in an earthly temple in my text. And in this heavenly scene, he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the Bible says that his train filled the temple. And the seraphims are round about the throne. They are crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." They are worshiping the one on the throne. The Bible says they have six wings. They cover their eyes with two of their wings. They, even though they are created holy beings, they cannot look on the holiness of God. They clasp their wings over their eyes and cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." This is the substance of the worship of the seraphims, crying holy in the presence of God. The Bible says that a cloud filled that temple. It was the cloud of God's presence. You know that in that temple there was an altar of incense, and the priest offered incense upon that altar. The cloud of that incense would go over that veil into the most holy place, where the Lord's presence abode upon the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest may have been in there offering that incense. But brother, when the Lord's presence come in that place, it was the cloud of his glory that filled the temple when the Lord came into that place. And Isaiah saw him and lifted up. The Bible says that the post of the door moved at the voice of the seraphims as they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." They were not whispering their praise. They were not bashful about their adoration. They were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." They cried until the doorpost shook with the voice of them worshiping a holy God. I'm telling you that the substance of their worship was holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. John the Revelator sees a vision, a heavenly vision, in Revelation chapter 4. He sees these living creatures around the throne, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And the Bible says that they never cease to cry, "Holy, holy," night and day, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I'm telling you, while you are sitting right here, some of your mind may be wandering somewhere else. Maybe you've never collected your thoughts this morning and focused them upon God. But while you're sitting right here in this place this morning, in heaven, night and day, the living creatures are crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the earth is full of his glory. If we could just look around and see, the earth is full of his glory. And we have every reason to join in with the seraphims around the throne, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Praise the name of Jesus. So, holiness is the essence of worship. If you don't love holiness, then you don't have what's essential for worship. You got to love it, because God is holy. And so you can't worship a God that's holy if you don't love holiness. Hey, I don't mean that you got to be a member of my church. It doesn't mean you've got to be a member of my movement. But it means you've got to be a member of the family of God who's not only acquainted with Him, but loves Him just as He is. He is a holy God. And so we worship Him because He is holy. By the way, in this scene in the temple, get this, Isaiah was like some of you. He could not cry, holy, holy, holy. In the presence of a holy God, instead of crying, holy, 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 he cried, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In the presence of a holy God, Isaiah was convicted of his own uncleanness and cried out, woe is me. I pray that God will help us this morning, that all over this building, if we cannot cry from our hearts, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that we will cry, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I pray that if we cannot pray, we will at least be convicted by the presence of God. Isaiah was convicted in the presence of a holy God. He could not say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But when he cried out, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. You know, here is where the pollution of our heart is demonstrated most readily, from our lips. For the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when we cannot adore God, and we cannot cry, holy, 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 because of the pollution of our own heart, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. But God had a remedy for that. He sent that angel to the altar, that brazen altar, at the entrance to the temple, where the sacrifices were made for sin, where the animals were brought, offered unto God for sacrifice for the sins of the people. On that altar there was a fire burning. It burned day and night. God kindled the fire on that altar. And Israel was to never let that fire go out. Every morning a lamb was slain, placed on that altar. Every afternoon a lamb was slain, placed on that altar. And then in seasons of holy days, multitudes of animals were added to that fire. And this offering was given unto God. It was on that altar. There was a fire burning. There were coals of fire from sacrifices that had been offered to God. And the Bible tells us that one of those seraphims flew to that altar, took the tongs and took a coal from off that altar, brought it to Isaiah and placed it to his lips, and said to him, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Praise God. And so the answer to the pollution of his heart was on that altar of sacrifice. And I say to you this morning, we have an altar too. And it is the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus offered himself without spot unto God. Hallelujah. And from that sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross, there is an answer to the pollution of our heart. God can cleanse our heart and make us holy. Hallelujah. And make us pure and make us sanctified so that we can offer up to God the praises that do unto his name, and cry along with us, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Brother, this is a praise that God is seeking from us. He wants us to understand who he is. He wants us to have a revelation of his glory. He wants us to be able to cry with the seraphims, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There is a remedy on the altar for you this morning. I said there is a remedy on the altar for you this morning. God wants to give you a vision of his greatness and glory, of his holiness. And he wants you to have a heart that admires holiness, that admires purity, that admires the faultlessness and perfection of God. And not only admires it, but says, Lord, make me like you are. Help me to be holy, for you are holy. Praise God. And the Lord has told us in his word, not only commanded us to be holy, but he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It is this holy nature imparted to us by God that is essential for us. If we're to ever see God in peace, we must be holy, and we must admire the holiness of God in order to see God in peace. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano this morning. I don't know about your situation, each one of you, but I can see that not many of us are enthralled with the Son of God. Hallelujah. You know, we're so like that God. He said, this old rough boys gathered around the church, and they could hear things that going on in there. And so one of them said, hey, I'll put you on my shoulders, let you look in that church and see what's going on in there. And so he put him on his shoulders and lifted him up, and he looked inside the church and gazed around a little while, and finally come down. His friend said, now what's happening in there? He said, I don't know exactly what's happening, but I can tell by the look on their faces, not many of them enjoying it. Not many of them liking it. Praise God. Well, I tell you, brother, the Lord wants to visit us in such a way. Give us such a love for him. Praise God. Reveal himself to us in such a way we can enjoy the presence of God. We can give glory to his holy name. We can cry with his sentence, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Night and day, they're worshiping and praising and honoring the name of the Lord.